makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee, the superb blend you know is fresh, present the Chase and Sanborn Hour and your host, Don Amici.
This is Don Amici, rounding up the Chase and Sanborn gang and greeting you for all of them. A hearty hello from Nelson Eddy, Dorothy L'Amour, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Robert Arm Brewster, and Judy Canova with Annie and Zeke. We hope that you'll enjoy our show and that throughout the week you'll remain our friends as well as friends of Chase and Sanborn. With a...
Howdy, Mr. Amici.
Oh, hello, Judy. Is there anything I can do for you?
Say, you know, Mr. Amici, I've been looking at that little McCarthy fella for 4 weeks now, and I'll be dogged if I can figure him out.
Yeah, well, don't try it, Judy. We all have the same trouble.
It sure is mystifying how them words comes a-bouncing across his wooden tonsils, ain't it?
Yeah, it sure is.
Yeah, and you know I keep a-thinking of what folks down in Unadilla would do if they seed him.
Would they be amazed, Judy?
Amazed? Listen, Mr. Amici, did you ever see a tree walking? Like as not, they'd hang a sap bucket on to it.
No. Hey, what's going on here?
Oh, well, Charlie, Judy only meant
that... Yeah, I heard what she said. I heard.
Shucks, Charlie. I was only complimenting you. Mm. Why, you ain't got nothing against me, have you?
No, but I can very easily develop something.
Now, that's too bad, Charles M. You see, I was hoping that I and you could sort of kind of get together like, you know.
Uh-oh.
I sort of like you.
You do?
I sure do.
Bergen, get your gun.
Never mind, Charlie. I'm sure you'll feel better when you know that our guest tonight is one of our mutual friends, honoring us with a return visit, the lovely Madeline Carroll.
Oh, Madeline, da-da-da-dum, da-da.
Thanks, Charlie, but we'll let Nelson Eddy do the singing. And it's the rousing, rip-roaring Song of the Vagabonds from the Vagabond King.
Come on, you beggars of Paris town, you lazy rabble of low degree.
You rabble of low degree.
You King Louis to keep his crown and save our city from Burgundy.
Our city from Burgundy.
You and I are good for nothing but to die. We can die for liberty. Under toil and danger, will you serve a stranger and bow down to Burgundy? Sons of shame and sorrow, will you cheer tomorrow for the crown of Burgundy? Onward, onward, swords against the foe. Forward, forward, the lily banners go. Sons of France around us, break the chain that bound us, and away with Burgundy.
Sons of fire and danger, will you serve a stranger and bow down to Burgundy? Sons of shame and sorrow, will you cheer tomorrow for the crown of Burgundy?
A rough-and-ready man of Canada. A big, brawny French-Canadian logger. The kind of a fellow who skips nimbly from log to log as they float downstream to the mill. Sure-footedly, he prevents the dreaded jams, and yet he always seems to find time to wave at the girls on the shore. Nelson Eddy sings the Canadian logging song.
Down the rivage we float, the logs they make the ground a boat. On the logs we leap and laugh as safe upon the logs as on the run. There
there's a rock. Watch out, mon frere, you maybe get a big shipwreck there. The sun is shining on the shore. We see big salmon jump some more. Down the rapids we hear them roar. Now may flag it on the shore, hola. They make stampede like herd of cows and on to lead. With log and pole, we have to leap to coax them out from log jam deep. A log jam is so hard to coax as a crowd of tricky women folks. The river bends, we get a view of Petite de Ville, they be at home. We wave and they smile, we know, all right. We see them again at the dance tonight, hola, hola. To those black eyes, we promise to be true. We dance the whole night through. Down the rivage, we float the log. She make it a grand boat. On the log, we leap and laugh, a safe upon the logs as on the raft. Hola, 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 hola.
Haunting we will go, cha 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 cha. A haunting we will go.
Hey, Charlie, the word is hunting.
Well, not on Halloween, it ain't.
Say, what are you going to do tomorrow night, Charlie?
Oh, I don't know. Duck for apples, I guess. What else can a fellow do on a measly 75 cents a week?
All right. Charlie, I wish you wouldn't take advantage of every opportunity to mention the allowance I give you.
Oh?
No.
Why?
It's embarrassing.
Yeah. I am ashamed of it too, Bergen.
Yeah. All you think of is money. Pleasure can be derived in many other ways.
Name four.
Well, say, Edgar, aren't you going to stage a Halloween party for Charlie tomorrow night?
I certainly am not, Don. Oh. I haven't forgotten Charlie's party last year when he ruined the furniture and the carpets.
Yeah, and broke windows, too.
Yes, yes.
Don't forget your broken windows.
Four broken windows.
Yeah, five.
Five?
Yeah. I broke one after you took inventory.
Oh.
What a party. Talk about laughs and the fun we had. Oh, gee. I remember it still.
I can assure you there will be no repetition of last year's riot.
No.
No. That experiment was much too expensive.
Oh, sure. No party this year?
No party.
Oh. Aren't you going to do anything for a little itsy-bitsy Charlie on this Halloween?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No. Oh, I may tell you a ghost story.
A ghost story?
Yes.
Do you think you can afford it?
Oh, no. Say,
Edgar, I like ghost stories. You know any good ones?
Well, I know one, Don.
Hey, you don't mind if I join you, do you, Edgar? I like to listen to ghost stories.
Well, not at all, Nelson.
Oh, Edgar, you going to tell a ghost story?
Yes.
I love them. They frighten me to death.
You better sit close to me, Dottie. Hold my hand.
Well, this isn't really a ghost story.
No?
No. It's an actual experience.
Oh, sure. They all start out that way.
A friend of mine by the name of Joe Franklin purchased an 8-room house in Hoosick Falls, which is a small town in upper New York.
How far is that?
How far is what?
Hoosick Falls.
What about it?
How far is it?
Well, from where?
Oh. Thank you anyway. I still don't think it's the right answer.
Well, anyway, my friend, he bought this old house.
Say, how many rooms did you say it had, Edgar?
8 rooms.
How charming. 8 rooms? 2-story?
No, it's a ghost story.
As a matter of fact, Dorothy, it was a 2-story house. But the upstairs quarters were never used because there was a rumor that they were haunted.
They were what?
I say, they were inhabited by ghosts.
Well, didn't Joe Hoosick know that before he bought the place?
The name is Joe Franklin, and the house is in Hoosick Falls.
Oh, I see. Well, you want to watch that, Edgar?
Yeah.
so...
Say, Ed, did Joe Falls know that Hoosick was haunted?
Yeah. Don, the name is Franklin, and the house is in Hoosick Falls. Yeah. It was an 8-story, 2-room house. What I mean is...
We got him, boys.
An 8-story, 2-room house, huh?
What he means, it's an 8-house, 2-story room. No.
Did anybody live in it?
Yeah, Hoosick lived downstairs. And he raised goats upstairs.
Now, wait a minute. Who lived in what?
Mr. Poughkeepsie. Lived in Schenectady. I don't know. What is this?
Well, I don't think you people want to hear this story at all. Of course, if you don't, we'll just say so that...
Now, Bergen, don't be sensitive now.
At least give me the courtesy.
Of course, we want to hear the story. Don't we, Don?
Why, sure we do. Have you heard it before, Charlie?
Yeah, I hear it every Halloween. He does it. He brings it out, yeah.
Is it a good story?
It's awful. But let's egg him on.
Yeah. Oh, come on, Edgar. Tell us the rest of the story. What was your friend's name?
Oh, well, let's forget his name, and let's forget he's my friend.
Oh, forgetting friends, huh? What's the matter? Did he write for money?
No. He did not write for money. Do you understand? No, he didn't.
Oh. Is him sore, Bergen?
No.
Oh, come on, Edgar. We'll behave. Tell us.
Very well. I shall make a final attempt, but I insist on absolute silence.
Yes, Scott, have it quiet now. Scott.
And stop whispering, please.
Yes. Excuse me. Is it all right if I breathe a little?
Oh, yes. Now, this is a true story.
Uh-huh.
But if at any time you question the veracity of my statements, stop me.
We sure will.
This incident took place about... I should say about 8 years ago, at which time I was considered quite a handsome young man.
Stop!
All right.
You can't sell us on that.
All right. Charlie, if you'll only keep quiet, you'll find that this story is very, very gripping.
Griping is the word.
All right. Now, you keep quiet, Charlie. We want to hear this story.
Thank you, Don.
Okay, Edgar.
For you. All right. Two-faced and all right.
Yeah. Now, where was I?
You're right here.
Yes, I am. Picture, if you can, an old house with a foundation settling, sagging roof, peeling wallpaper. Can you picture it?
Picture it? We live in it.
In this house, there had formerly lived an old miser. Of course, you know what a miser is.
Oh, sure. A miser is a man who thinks 75 cents a month.
No.
No, you don't.
That burns him up.
Now, this miser had lived and died in one of the upstairs bedrooms, and it was believed that his ghost haunted it.
The plot thickens.
And do you know, Charlie, I was the first person brave enough to spend a night in that bedroom.
Sure.
Nothing happened until midnight.
Nothing ever does.
And then, out of the still of the night, I heard the old grandfather's clock in the hall strike the witching hour.
Bong! Cuckoo! Cuckoo!
Don, will you please stop?
Yeah, when you hear the next cuckoo, it'll be exactly Bergen.
Yeah. All right, enough of that.
Yeah. Fellas, will you stop interrupting? Gee, you're being very rude.
Oh, now, keep quiet,
very
Charlie.
Unfunny. And the least you can do...
All right. Will you stop, too, Charlie?
Oh, me?
Yes.
How was...
You're the worst one of all.
Is that so?
Yes.
Gee.
Shortly after midnight, I heard a peculiar noise, as if someone were tapping on the walls.
Oh,
all right.
I thought I saw something.
No. Tapping on the walls.
Yes.
And I heard footsteps on the ceiling. I couldn't figure out what it was.
Maybe you had a snootful.
No.
I was only trying to help.
Well, please don't.
All right.
No. Then suddenly, the steps got closer and closer. And then, without warning, a horrible figure pounced upon me. Something tugged at my memory. Where had I seen that ghostly face before?
In a mirror?
No. That settles it.
That settles what?
I'm not going to finish this story.
Well, why not?
Well, I'm not going to make a fool of myself.
Oh, I don't know.
Yes, you're right. I have made a fool of myself.
Well, it certainly took you long enough to get wise.
Thank you.
few years ago, a song about a couple of people who were very, very tired swept the country. Remember, Let's Put Out the Lights and Go to Sleep? Well, now another one has come along, and it looks like just as big a hit. It's by Hoagy Carmichael, and it's called, simply enough, Two Sleepy People. Dorothy L'Amour shows how it goes, and very nicely, too. Dorothy?
Look at you and look at me, just two wilted flowers. We should get a cuckoo clock for this house of ours.
You got a cigarette? Oh, honey, no. Gee, it's getting kind of cold, too, isn't it?
Here we are, out of the cigarette, holding hands and yawning. Look how late it gets. Two sleepy people by dawn's early light, and too much in love to say goodnight. Here we are in a cozy chair, picking on a wishbone from the frigid air. Two sleepy people with nothing to say, and too much in love to break away. You remember the nights we used to linger in the hall? Father didn't like you at all. Do you remember the reason why we married in the fall? To rent this little nest and get a bit of rest. Well, here we are, just about the same. Foggy little fella, drowsy little day. Two sleepy people by dawn's early light, and too much in love to say goodnight. On your collar, me in this old dress. Two sleepy people who know very well they're too much in love to break the spell. We're crazy in the head. Gosh, your eyes are gorgeous, even when they're red. Two sleepy people with nothing to say, and too much in love to break away. Do you remember the nights we used to linger in the hall? Father didn't like you at all. Do you remember the reason why we married in the fall? To rent this little nest and get a bit of rest. Well, just about the same, foggy little fella, drowsy little day. Two sleepy people by dawn's early light, and too much in love to say goodnight.
Good night, honey.
If you love fun and excitement, you want to hear about Charlie McCarthy's new radio game.
Yes, you'll get laughs and thrills by the minute when you play Charlie's new radio game. Many of your friends and neighbors are already enjoying it. Whether you're 9 or 90, it will bring you hours of fun. The game includes 21 lifelike, full-color figures of your Chase and Sanborn radio friends. There are four figures each of Edgar Bergen, Nelson Eddy, Don Ameche, Dorothy L'Amour, and Robert Armbruster. But there's only one figure of impudent young Charlie McCarthy. And that's what causes the excitement. The play is controlled by a spinner, and every player tries to get Charlie. And here's how you get Charlie's radio game. Send us two dated bag fronts from Chase and Sanborn Dated Coffee, together with only 10 cents. You're sure to enjoy the fine, mellow flavor of dated coffee. For it's not only a superb blend of the world's choice coffees, but it's truly fresh. Yes, dated coffee is delivered to your grocer by a fresh food delivery service from the oven nearest to his store. The date of delivery is plainly marked on every bag. And that date assures you of fragrant aroma, of rich, satisfying goodness, of freshly roasted coffee. Begin now to enjoy Chase and Sanborn dated coffee. Send us two dated bag fronts and only 10 cents, and we'll mail you Charlie's absorbing new game right away. Address Chase and Sanborn, 420 Lexington Avenue, 420 Lexington Avenue, New York City. Buy Chase and Sanborn dated coffee from your grocer tomorrow.
Our very finest, grade A, number one quality welcome goes to our special guest, the beauteous star of both the British cinema and the American movie, Madeline Carroll. She has but recently returned from abroad to play the leading role in the Paramount picture, Café Society. Miss Carroll appears tonight in a play by one of her distinguished playwriting countrymen, John Van Druten. A play about an English girl and an American boy. Madeline Carroll in There's Always Juliet.
It has been quite a day in the life of Leonora Pericost. Until the middle of the afternoon, she had been just an ordinary English girl. But then at a party, she met Dwight Houston, an American architect, and her whole life changed. That evening, they went to dinner, the theater, and a nightclub. Now it's about 1 o'clock in the morning, and Dwight is bringing Leonora to her apartment.
Well, here we are. Gee, that was a great idea of yours to go to the, what was the name of that place?
Hoban Empire.
That's it.
I still got that beastie old song in my head. I'm alone because I love you.
Love you with all my heart.
Da 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 da.
I had to be true. Sorry, I can't say the same about you.
I think it's the silliest song I ever heard.
Well, I'm inclined to agree with you.
I say, won't I ever get that tune out of my head?
Well, let's try something else to take the taste away.
I can't think of another song.
Well, in spite of that tune, it's been a grand evening.
I've enjoyed it so much.
Leonora. Say, by the way, do you mind if I don't call you Leonora? It's my sister-in-law's name, and I can't bear my sister-in-law.
What would you like to call me?
Steve.
Steve?
Uh-huh.
Why?
I don't know. I'd like to.
Of course, if you feel like that about it.
Steve.
Well?
I think I'm a little in love with you, Steve. You're so adorable.
I love you, too. This is ridiculous.
Why?
We've known each other, 5 hours?
Well, that's long enough, surely.
To be in love?
Oh, I fell for you the minute I saw you. I was watching you from across the room long before I came and talked to you. Didn't you know?
I knew I wanted you to come and talk to me.
Darling, what do we do now? I feel we should rush out and do something, something violent. Knock down a cop or something. Whew, it's grand, isn't it?
It is, rather.
It's like spring.
Zowie!
Yeah, I feel a bit lighthearted myself. We'll see each other lots, won't we?
Lots. You'll be in England only 3 weeks, you said.
Oh, let's not talk about that, huh?
No.
Mind over matter. We'll have fun the way we had this evening. Let's see, what should we do tomorrow? Oh, let's go into the country, can we, for the day?
I thought you were here on business. Haven't you appointment?
Well, I ought to see a man a week from Thursday, but just for an hour in the morning.
That's what it is. Business, business, business all the time. All right, then. We'll take my car. Go down to Sussex. somewhere on the Downs.
Oh, I've heard of Sussex.
I should think so.
No, no. Hasn't it got a dialect? That's where they say Dumbledown, isn't it?
No, that's Somerset.
These suburbs.
How do you know about Dumbledown?
Oh, Bee Lilly used to sing a song about it. Mm. Shall we drink ale? Oh, you don't know how disappointed I was the first time I came over here and found that ale in England was the same as beer in America. I'd always pictured ale as something, oh, something terribly special, like sack or mead.
I know. Or possets.
What's a posset? Sounds like an animal.
Not possums, possets. It's a drink, sort of a nightcap, I think.
Oh, possets. That sounds silly, doesn't it? I'll tell you what, let's not have them, huh?
Let's not.
All right.
I know a little inn where we'll lunch, with a stream and a garden.
Oh, that's swell. I'll call for you. How early?
About 10.
Well, I'm a lazy riser, but I'll make an exception. You think I ought to go now?
I think you ought.
I never shall if you don't turn me out.
I think you'd better.
All right. Funny, Steve. Good night. Oh, by the way, Steve, would you consider marrying me? Would you?
What?
Could we do it tonight?
Of course not.
Well, why not? Do you have to have an act of parliament?
No.
Wouldn't you? I'll do, Steve, please. It isn't much to ask.
I couldn't. It'd be crazy. Oh, I want to this minute. Terribly. Just so as not to lose you. But I've got some sense.
Well, what's sense got to do with it?
Everything. Look at it sensibly. I've only known you 5 hours. We can't get married like this. I don't know a thing about you except that you're fun and that I like you.
Oh, I should have thought those were reasons enough.
No, but be sensible.
Oh, how can I? Over you. I tell you, I'm crazy about you. Don't you believe we'd make a go of it?
I don't know. Just imagine the scene with Mother and Father. Mother, I've got something to tell you. Yes, dear, what is it? I'm going to be married. Oh, really, dear? Who to? Anyone we know? No. Dwight Houston. And who may Dwight Houston be? That's Father.
Yeah.
He's an American. An American? And how long have you known him? Oh, about 5 hours. I can't even imagine the reply to that.
Oh, well, that's easy. But, Mother, I'm in love with him.
Oh, but this is absurd of us. I don't know you. I don't know the first thing about you. We can't be in love with each other.
Well, don't let's bother too much about it, shall we? We seem to like each other anyway. Besides, there's always Juliet.
Juliet?
Well, she and Romeo did it in 5 speeches.
I always said that was an improbable play.
If I profane with my unworthiest hand, what's the rest of it?
I don't know. We've got it in the bookcase somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, here. Here it is.
Oh, I'll find the place.
No. Here, I got it right here. If I profane with my unworthiest hand this holy shrine, the gentle fine is this. My lips, two blushing pilgrims, ready stand to smooth that rough touch with a tender kiss. He's a fresh guy, that Romeo.
Good pilgrim, you do wrong your hand too much, which mannerly devotion shows in this. For saints have hands that pilgrims' hands do touch, and palm to palm is holy palmer's kiss.
Well, there you are.
Well, we're hardly Romeo and Juliet, are we? Still, it's nice to think we've got a precedent sort of.
Oh, we've got a million precedents.
I suppose we have. I never believed in it until now.
We live and learn.
Dwight, will you give me one concession to the serious part of me?
What's that?
Please leave now and don't make me give you an answer until tomorrow morning.
All right, I'll go. But you got the promise to say yes.
I promise.
Good night, hideous. Sweet, good night. This bud of love by summer's ripening breath. Why?
I don't want to take it like that.
Well, then, like a song? I'm alone because I love you.
Love you with all my heart.
Good night, Steve.
Good night. I have no joy of this contract tonight. It is too rash, too unadvised, too sudden. I'm alone because I love you. Love you with all my heart. Da-da-da, da-da, it has to be true. Oh, Dwight, I don't know what to do. I love you so. I'm alone because I love you.
This is Don Amici, and the Chase and Sanborn Hour continues. Hidden in the scores of many almost forgotten operas are a great many beautiful arias. One of these operas is Massenet's Le Roi de l'Or, from which Nelson Eddy sings Promesse de mon avenir. How did I do, Nelson?
Well, you were warm.
Well, since you're going to sing it, I think you better say it.
All right. From Massenet's Le Roi de l'Or, the aria Promesse de mon avenir.
Oh, lovely. Thank you, and Nelson Eddy sings it.
Oh, troupe du sultan qui menace là-haut, la royale cité, notre puissance est redoutable encore. Chassées d'une invisible main, elles ont du désert gagné le chemin. Le peuple est rassuré, c'est mon nom qui l'acclame. Le calme mon âme, et je puis être
sourire aux splendeurs du monde.
Oh, that's swell, Annie. It has both rhyme and reason. I didn't know you had it in you.
Yep, and I'm sure glad you got it out of her, too.
Rah-rah, sister,
that'll do, Annie. You know, Mr. Amici, ever since we see that there football game yesterday, Annie's been sort of what you might call cheer-happy.
Oh, you took in a football game, huh, Julie? Oh, I bet you had a good time out there, huh?
I had a good fight.
A fight?
Yes, sir. We no more than sat down when a fella passed me an insult, and Zeke up and bashed him one.
Well, I don't blame him. If anybody insulted you with me around, I'd bash him one myself.
Would you?
Well, I certainly would.
Anybody want to try him out?
Never mind that. Zeke, what did the fella say about Judy that got your dander up?
Ain't nobody calling my sister a hog.
Somebody called you a hog, Judy? Oh, he didn't.
Sure, he did. Soon as I sat down, that fella turned to me and says, "Who you rooting for?"
Well, who were you rooting for? Which team were you for?
Well, I wasn't for nobody, and I wasn't again nobody. See, I just wanted to see them bust each other around.
Oh, the weaker sex, huh? Were you sitting near enough to see them get busted?
Well, I tell you, I and Annie were satisfied, but Zeke kept on complaining that the players was getting smaller and smaller all the time till he could hardly see them.
Well, maybe he was sitting up too high. Didn't you bring glasses along, Zeke?
Nope, I just drunk it out of the jug.
Well, I still say it was too high. Did you like the game, Zeke?
What I saw of it.
I liked it, too.
Oh, why don't you get with it, Annie? You didn't even pay no attention to the game after some fella said this how you was a beauty.
Annie found an admirer. Oh, I knew she must be somebody's type.
You did. Why, I'm a-telling you, Mr. Amici, that fella what was selling them sandwiches walked right by all them movie stars without giving them a tumble. But when he come by us, he looked straight at Annie and he yelled, "Hot dog!"
He spoke to me, too.
Oh, that's wonderful, Annie. What did he say?
How many?
That's enough, Annie. Sit there quiet and count your buttons.
I saw you at the game, Judy. I waved to you, but I couldn't get your eye.
Lordy, Miss Lamour, I was too busy watching that fella in front of the grandstand that was tucked with them galloping jitters.
Jitters? Oh, why, Judy, that was a cheerleader.
Well, I guess I should have known that. Zeke acts the same way when he's full of cheer. You know, that leader sure made them little bunch of fellas yell so you could hear them all over the field.
Oh, well, most of the stadiums nowadays have very good acoustics.
They sure? Mr. Amici, you say the craziest words. Hey, Zeke, come here, son. What in the world's acoustics?
Acoustics is what you shoot pool with.
There you are, Mr. Amici. That boy is going to be a great wit someday.
Well, why not? He's halfway there already.
You said that right. Well, anyhow, he's happy.
You could almost certainly had your troubles. You were insulted, Zeke had eye trouble, and Annie found romance with mustard and relish. Did you by any chance see a football game?
You can't prove it by me. They sure do a lot of nothing before anybody footballs. Well, first thing that catch my eyes was them boys on the field all a-getting in a circle with the heads together and the arms around each other. Real romantic-like.
Oh, why, Judy, that's the huddle. I can see you got a lot to learn about football.
You reckon you could teach me to huddle?
What I mean is you should go with somebody who knows what it's all about.
Oh, you think I ought to, huh?
Well, sure.
Well, I ain't busy tomorrow night.
Yeah, but there isn't any football game tomorrow night.
I know it. I ain't no fool.
Oh, now look, Judy, couldn't we sort of... Hey, Zeke, put down that gun.
Taint loaded.
Taint loaded, huh? Judy, will you do me a favor? Get somebody else to teach you the game of football. It's so dangerous, and I'm so young.
Mr. Amici, Zeke was only fooling.
Yeah, well, that's kind of carrying a joke too close.
Well, matter in fact, if I want to learn about football, I can learn all about it from my own family.
Oh, well, that's fine. I didn't know they played football down in Unadilla.
Play football? Why, Mr. Amici, you know them school kids down home never heard arithmetic. They call it signal practice.
Did Zeke ever play football, Judy?
Did he play football? Ha!
Ha! He was probably All-American.
Ha ha! He's better than that. He's All-Unadilla.
All-Unadilla? Now, what do you think of that?
I was a triple threat man.
Triple threat, huh?
Yeah, kick, bite, and choke.
Boy, if Zeke is that tough, I'm surprised some college didn't buy him a pair of shoes and put him on their football team.
Oh, he's better with them off. That's how he got the offer to play for USC.
Zeke really got an offer to play at USC?
He sure did. Unadilla School of Chiropody.
Oh, Chiropody.
Yes, sir, Chiropody. And he played for him in his spare time under a different name.
Oh, incognito, huh?
No, sir, Kelly was the name he used.
We had a swell alma mater song, too.
Yeah, I bet you did. What was the name of it?
Shucks, I forget.
Do you know it, Judy?
No, sir. I don't remember it, neither.
Well, let's see now. Unadilla School of Chiropody. What kind of a theme song would they have?
Chiropody.
Oh, I bet it was Flatfoot Fluji, huh?
Nope, that ain't it.
Well, maybe it was Fall in Love. Fall in Love Says My Arch.
No. Zeke, was it My Sweet Little Callous Blue Gown?
Nope.
Or, The Last Hose of Summer?
Well, it could have been The Folks Who Live on the Hill.
Nope, it weren't none of them.
Well, how about Whistler and His Dogs?
Or it's a shin to tell a lie.
Stand back, y'all. Stand back. I got it.
What?
Ankles away.
That's it.
Judy, I'm certainly glad that you settled the title of the theme song of the Unadilla School of Chiropody so that we can all listen to you, Annie and Zeke, sing Hounds on My Tracks.
Chickens on my back, gonna make it to my shanty if I can, if I can, if I can. Gonna make it to my shanty if I can.
Squirrel on the fence, my dog ain't got no sense.
Gonna make it to my shanty if I can, if I can, if I can. Gonna make it to my shanty if I can. Gonna make it to my shanty if I can, if I can, if I can. Gonna make it to my shanty if I can.
Donna Meachie is a
cutie. Miss Lamore's a sweet for tootie.
Gonna make it to my shanty if I can, if I can, if I can. Gonna make it to my shanty if I can.
We chopped down the old pine tree to make McCarthy a brand new knee. Hoo-hoo!
Gonna make it to my shanty if I can. If I can.
Yo, little old lady.
If I can.
Yo, little old lady.
Gonna make it to my shanty if I can.
Well, Charlie, here's the happy reunion. Since you last talked to your friend Madeline Carroll, she's been over to Paris and back again.
Oh, oui, oui, Madeline. Did you enjoy your trip, mon chéri?
Oui, 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 Charlotte. C'était très, très magnifique.
Oh, très good. Did you miss me?
I thought of you all the time, Charlie. And just to prove it, I brought you a present from Paris.
Oh, no. A present? For me?
Yes.
Oh, you shouldn't have. What is it?
Yes.
Well, now let me see. It isn't the Eiffel Tower. No, no. No. A scooter, perhaps?
No, Charlie, it's better than that. Oh, it's a letter.
A letter? Oh, is there a check in it?
Charlie, dear, this is a very unusual letter.
Oh. Oh, then it has a check in it.
No. No, but it was written by a little French admirer of yours.
Oh, who is she?
It isn't a she, it's a boy.
Yeah. Disappointment number two. This is getting worse all the time.
His name is Toutou Gaston Petitjean.
That does it. That does it. That's Toutou much, much for me. Who is he?
Well, he's a little assistant who sits on the knee of the great French ventriloquist, the great Pierre.
Oh, gee, that's great.
And just like you, he's a little mannequin.
No. Today, I am a mannequin.
You should see this boy, Charlie. He's the idol of the Parisiennes. The ladies all adore him.
That's so.
Mm-hmm. In fact, he's the toast of France.
Oh, isn't that good? My. How old is this little French toast? Or, I mean, this squirt.
Well, I'd say he's about your age, Charlie.
Oh, yes.
And he's very eager to learn the American language. Uh-huh. So he wrote to you in English, and he's hoping that you'll answer him. Would you like to hear what he wrote, Charlie?
Well, no.
Oh, but it's a very charming letter.
Oh, then read it.
Let me read it to you. Yes. He starts off by saying, yes. Dear Charlot, my petit chou...
Petit chou? Does he mean I'm a heel or something?
No, Charlie. Petit chou is French for cabbage head.
Oh, well, that's cabbage head. That's worse yet. Why, the fresh punk. What?
No, Charlie. In French, cabbage head is a term of endearment.
Cabbage head is? Well, it doesn't translate very well, I'll say that, Mark.
And then he writes... Every week, I listen to hear you on the air over the TSF.
The TSF? Well, the little fool, he means NBC, doesn't he?
No, Charlie, dear. You see, they don't call it radio over there. Oh. They call it TSF, which stands for Telephone Sans Fil.
Oh.
Telephone without wires.
Sure, I'll bet you. Oh, telephone without wires. I don't think it'll ever be practical.
Well, be that as it may. Let me read you the rest of Tutu's letter.
Oh, Dudu, yes, Dudu.
I try to obtain your program every Monday morning, but I am not very successful.
Oh, that's too bad, isn't it? That is too bad, yeah. I wonder if you ever tried tuning in on Sunday night. The dope cabbage head. That's the part that burns me up.
But, Charlie, don't you realize that the clocks are 5 hours faster in Paris than here?
They are?
Mm-hmm.
Well, can't they slow them down?
Now, why hasn't someone thought of that?
Well, I just did. Somebody ought to make notes of these things.
But to go on with the letter. Tutu says...
Tutu, here we go again. Oh, I know, I like him.
I am glad you are very popular in America, yes?
Yes.
And maybe sometime you will come to see I in Paris, no?
Yes, no, he sure does murder the English, doesn't he? Is he illiterate? I guess he must be. Yes, no?
Oh, no, I think he's very cute.
Yeah.
And, Charlie, he signs his letter, Your petite Parisian pal, Toutou Gaston Petitjean.
Toutou Gaston Petitjean. He must get awful tired lugging that handle around. Cabbage head. That's the one that cuts me, cabbage head. Yeah, I got it. Take a letter.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Monsieur Petitjean. Got that?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Dear Gopher Puss.
Gopher Puss?
Yes, Gopher Puss. In America, that's a term of endearment.
Well, I never heard of that, Charlie.
Well, I never heard of cabbage head. Gopher Puss stays.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
Yeah, don't let it happen too often. And to continue, quote. Have you got that?
Yes.
I never hear your program in America with or without wires. Sans phony. But I will forgive you for that cabbage head crack if, when I get to Paris, you will cherchez la femme for me, and I will do the same for you in America. You're American, army. Charlie? Oh, gee. I'll mail that as it is.
Very good, sir. And I'm sure Tutu will be most pleased when he receives this letter.
Yeah, I thought it was rather well put myself. What kind of a boss does Tutu have?
Oh, he's very handsome, debonair, and he has a moustache.
Oh, he has. Oh, yes. Maybe Bergen could raise a mustache, huh? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. It might be too much of a strain on his system.
Do you think he'd look better with a mustache, Charlie?
Well, it would help, yes. You couldn't see his lips move while I was talking.
Say that. You know, little Tutu always speaks well of his boss.
Well, maybe he gets paid more than I do.
Well, he told me that his salary is 1,500 centimes a week.
Yeah, well, that's 1,500 centimes. Wow. Gee, I could kick myself for what I'm working for. I could kick Bergen, too. 1,500 centimes.
That's right, Charlie.
Sorry. Is he socking it away? Or has he got a big family?
Well, I don't know about that, but I do know that that's his salary.
Gee, 15. I wonder if Bergen's... Hey, Bergen, did you hear that?
What's that, Charlie?
Miss Carroll was just telling me about a ventriloquist over in Paris who pays this boy $1,500 a week. Now, think of that. Gee. Off. Yes. It's enough to make it fall off. Yes. I could jump on it. 1,500 a week.
Yes. Oh, 1,500 a week? Why, I can't believe that.
Well, Miss Carroll just said to Miss Carroll, just tell me about this ventral. Go on, tell him about it. Is it true?
That's right. 1,500 centimes.
Oh, 1,500 centimes.
Yeah, centimes.
Yeah, well, centime is... That's French for a...
Yeah, well, it's still a buck.
Oh, no, it isn't. Oh, no, 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 no.
No!
It's still a buck.
It's 100 centimes to make a franc.
With mustard?
Why, a centime, why, that's less... Why, it's much less than a cent.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Less than a cent?
Why, of course it is.
Is there anything less than a penny?
Of course there is.
Well, how come you haven't paid me off in it?
Charlie McCarthy's radio game is the new sensation from coast to coast. Here's the latest news about it.
Everybody's playing Charlie's new radio game.
Yes, sirree. Small fry, big fry, from 6 to 60.
That's right, Charlie. It's packed with suspense and thrills.
It's fascinating. You bet it is, yes.
You get 21 figures of the stars on this program, and they're all in beautiful, natural color.
Yeah, Bergen's in usual pale pink.
Charlie, please. There are four figures each of Edgar Bergen, Nelson Eddy, Don Ameche, Dorothy L'Amour, and Robert Armbruster.
So far, mildly interesting.
Oh, but there's just one figure of Charlie McCarthy.
Sensational.
And you must have Charlie to win.
Well, naturally. How else, pray tell?
So get Charlie's absorbing new game. Just mail us two dated bag fronts from Chase and Sanborn dated coffee and only 10 cents. Mm-hmm. And if you like coffee with plenty of rich, bracing flavor, you'll enjoy dated coffee. For this is more than a fine blend of the world's choice coffees. It's coffee you know is fresh.
Uh-huh.
The date on the bag front tells you when your grocer received it, fresh from the nearest roasting oven.
That's good.
Try a delicious Chase and Sanborn dated coffee.
Think I will.
Mail us the two dated bag fronts with only 10 cents, and we'll promptly send you Charlie's new radio game.
Yes, sirree. The game's on me.
Address, Chase and Sanborn, 420 Lexington Avenue, at 420 Lexington Avenue.
420, yeah.
Oh, Charlie.
Oh.
Meaning not, you know.
Meaning not, yeah. Not really.
Yes, really. 420 Lexington Avenue, New York City.
Uh-huh.
Buy Chase and Sanborn dated coffee tomorrow.
Okay.
October soon fades into November, and Nelson Eddy bids it farewell with a drinking song from Robin Hood, Brown October Ale.
And it's will you quaff with me, my lads? And it's will you quaff with me? It is a drop of nut brown ale I offer unto ye. All humming in the tankard, lads, it cheers the heart forlorn. Oh, here's a friend to wear. distortion for a leaf and quartlets to make you stout and hail. Through all my days I'll sing the praise of brown October ale. Yes,
the flats and quartlets will make you stout and hail.
Ah, through all my days I'll sing the praise of brown. And it's will you love me true. If not, I'll drink one flagon more, and so farewell to you. If Jean or Ma or Nan or Doll should make your heart to mourn, fill up the pail with nut brown ale and toast John Barleycorn. So laugh, lads, and quaff, lads, to make you stop and hail. Through all my days I'll sing the praise of brown October ale.
Yes, laugh, lads, and quaff, lads, to make you stop and hail.
Once more, the end of another Chase and Sanborn hour. An hour made possible by your purchases of Chase and Sanborn coffee. That's the best way to tell us you enjoy our show. We'll all be back next Sunday. Nelson Eddy, Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy, Dorothy L'Amour, Judy Canova with Annie and Zeke, Robert Armbruster with the Chase and Sanborn Orchestra, and our special guest, the star of You Can't Take It With You, Gene Arthur. Until then, this is yours sincerely, Don Amici, saying au revoir.
Be with us again next Sunday for another big Chase and Sanborn Hour. Gene Arthur, Don Amici, Nelson Eddy, Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Dorothy L'Amour, Judy Canova, with Annie and Zeke and Robert Armbruster and the Chase and Sanborn Orchestra. Heard on this program were Two Sleepy People from Thanks for the Memory and The Big Show by Jerome Kern. This is Wendell Niles speaking for the makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee. This is the National Broadcasting Company.